Everybody to the Sleepawire show. Correction, this is Nick's Playbook, brought to you by Sleepawire. Thank you guys. I am your host, Nick Summerall. This is a new, brand new show brought to you, to the Sleepawire fans out there. I am going to be doing my one-man show because my schedule's a little all over the place. I can't really coordinate with the other guys, so I'm going to bring to you a mix of a little bit of everything with fantasy when it comes to the regular season. We're going to be diving into news on this show, we'll be going over some of the big plays of the week, all that kind of stuff, but this is still the preseason week 3 coming at you, but we are going to go in diving into your mock drafts, getting you ready for the regular season, talking about running backs. Yes, running backs can make or break your rosters, at least from my personal experiences. When I've started off with a zero running back approach, I'm not really a big fan of my team. So with that being said, we're just going to dive right into it. None of the BS, we're not going to sit here and waste your time. We're just going to jump right into it. So without further ado, let's get into it. I use fantasypros.com as my source for mock drafting. It's kind of nice to go up against the adjusted rankings from a bunch of analysts out there, some well-known guys in the business. So let's get started. I went with the format for a 12-team PPR, your standard-looking roster, one quarterback, two running back, three wide receiver, and a flex kind of league, typical what you're going to see this season. And we're going to be talking about the guys beyond the first round, between, I think, the second and third round, because these guys, they're borderline either elite or they have the upside to break out and be in that RB1 category, high-end RB2 at least. Let's get started. So I did my mock draft. I picked at 4. Just totally did it random. Picked Ezekiel Elliott. That's one of my guys this season. I love him. I think a lot of people in the business love him. So you can't go wrong, in my opinion, really, when you're picking in the top 4 of any of those 4 running backs. Gurley, Bell, David Johnson. I've seen even Barkley slip up there. It's a gamble, but I can understand it. So with that being said, we got into the second round. The beginning of the second round was Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette, great, pretty good rookie season, I'd say. He was a little banged up here and there, but I expect him to have an even better sophomore season. Let's break down the numbers. He was 8th in rushing with 1,040 yards. He had 9 rushing touchdowns. What can you ask for a rookie season? I mean, that's a great rookie season on a team that has been known for having a pretty bad offense. Only 3.9 yards a carry, that does concern me, but news has already come out from Doug Marrone saying that he wants to get Leonard Fournette more involved. I think this is the perfect spot, Leonard Fournette. I think if you're grabbing him here on the turn in the second round, the way this draft worked out, it had the computer taking Odell Beckham and then grabbing Leonard Fournette. A situation like that, I think you got a great 1-2 punch set up. You got your top wide receiver, and you got a running back who really can break out and be a top 10 running back for the season. Let's move on to the next guy, Dalvin Cook. A lot of question marks when it comes to Dalvin Cook. Considering that he missed almost the entire season aside from the first 4 games, But he was really on a roll when you really consider what he was doing. Let's see what exactly we had here for Mr. Dalvin Cook. I think he was on a pretty heavy pace, if I'm not mistaken. Shoot, I don't have the numbers up in front of me. Point being, though, Dalvin Cook coming back from the torn ACL. I'm not concerned with him. I think he's surrounded by a great offense. Kirk Cousins, I'm not as high on Kirk Cousins as everybody else is out there. I think he's basically a slight upgrade over Case Keenum. And maybe that, you know, I'm a contrarian in that. Maybe a lot of people see Kirk Cousins as the guy to lead this team to a Super Bowl. That's not me. But again, I think this is a perfect spot for him. He has the upside to be the guy. He was on pace to be a top five running back before he got injured. So you can't go wrong with Dalvin Cook. I love the spot. I'm not gonna challenge you going there. Now, here's where we start to see some controversy. I like Leonard Fournette. I like Dalvin Cook. Those guys really don't have too many questions on. I mean, you know, you could question, I guess, Dalvin Cook with his coming into the preseason injured, but they have already said that he's looking great out there anyway. So the guy I want to talk about now is Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey, he's somebody that I'm not really seeing as this. I understand the PPR value. I get it. He had a ton of catches. I think he finished, let's see, Christian McCaffrey finished with, he only had 435 rushing yards, which is pitiful. But that's not the role he was meant for anyway. He had 80 receptions on the season. That's what he was born in for. That's why he's a PPR guy. Five receiving touchdowns, two rushing touchdowns, so total seven touchdowns. You know, when you look at the workload, he was about 197 total touches between rushing and receiving. I mean, is there there's room for an upgrade, but by what? Maybe 50 mix of receptions and carries. Maybe that's where you see, you know, maybe he goes up to 250. I'm not buying it. I don't know. I have a feeling that this is about where he should be. 200 attempts and catches combined with, you know, he totaled out about 1,100 yards. This is where I see him, guys. I don't see him this high. Especially, they brought in C.J. Anderson, which, I get it, you know, was a starting running back in Broncos, ain't there anymore. He's filling in for the Jonathan Stewart role. And I think he's going to be better in that role than Jonathan Stewart was because he's a little younger, because he's still got a little bit left in the tank. Not to mention, you still got Cam Newton, who's always that threat on the ground. This is too high for me. He's, you know, in this mock draft, and this is kind of the average of where I've seen him go. He's the fourth pick in the second round. Guys, I'm sorry, that's too high for me. I would be way more comfortable grabbing this guy in the third round. But this price is too much. Buyer beware with him is all I can say about that. I think he's gonna, you know, this is a bust where he's going. I think he's got a lot of talent, but and PPR, this is where, you know, PPR is where he's gonna get his bread and butter, but standard, forget about it. Forget about standard. And I wouldn't be surprised if we get the same stat line. And this is why I think it's too high. It's too high for somebody who's only going to score you maybe seven touchdowns, you know, and maybe get 1,100 total yards as your top running back. All right, so let's continue on down the list. So after Christian McCaffrey, we've got a few receivers going. Devontae Freeman is up next. So Devontae Freeman, you know, my one concern with him, he gets injured quite often, especially the concussions. That's a huge concern. But for the season, let's check out Devontae Freeman's stats. So on the year last year, we saw him get 865 rushing yards, 7 touchdowns, And in receiving, he had 317 yards, one touchdown. That's way down from last year, where he saw 11 rushing touchdowns, two receiving touchdowns. He had a total of about a little over 1,500 yards, whereas this past season, he had just above 1,100, you know, almost 1,200 yards. That's a huge drop-off. Now, you consider, okay, was it a new offense under Steve Sarkisian? So they were adjusting. I see a bit of a bounce back, but I think this is a better value though at this spot than where Christian McCaffrey is in comparison. So I think that I would rather have Devontae Freeman fall in my lap at the third round, but I think I'd rather have Devontae Freeman though over Christian McCaffrey. That's for sure. I would definitely do that. Now, moving on, Joe Mixon is the next guy up. Joe Mixon, I think he's going to have a much better season than we saw last year. He was supposed to be the guy last year, but that offensive line was just terrible. And they made some improvements through the draft, you know, shoring up that line. I know they drafted the center in the first round. I think it was Ragnow. I'm sorry, I'm not remembering at this point. But I know they made some upgrades on the line. They should be better. He had 626 rushing yards, four touchdowns, 287 through the air, and no receiving touchdown. So not bad. But the hype for this guy last year was insane. They were saying this guy's gonna be the next Le'Veon Bell. He might be able to do what Le'Veon Bell can do. I think Le'Veon Bell is one of the best that's been in the league in this as far as this era. But I don't think Joe Mixon's the next Le'Veon Bell. But I think he can do things like Le'Veon Bell, where he can be a dangerous weapon behind AJ Green in the receiving game, and I think he can get things going on the ground, provided that the offensive line is improved. So, but my concern is, I said Christian McCaffrey went in the second round, Devontae Freeman, Joe Mixon. The finish out the second round was Jerick McKinnon. So these are your four running backs behind, Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook, that also went in the second round. But these four running backs, these are the ones that have the question marks for me. And of these four, I feel the most comfortable with Devontae Freeman. He went second behind Christian McCaffrey. And I don't think Jerick McKinnon should be going in the second round. I have major concerns with him, but before I get into that, with Joe Mixon, I think this is probably the perfect spot for him. If I had to rank these running backs, I'd probably go Devontae Freeman, Joe Mixon, guess Christian McCaffrey, and then Jerick McKinnon. I think there's any other running backs that went in the third round that probably should have rounded out the second round. Now that I'm looking at the third round, there's probably one that I still think should be going in the second round that I think a lot of you guys are sleeping on, and I'll get into him in a little bit. But yeah, Joe Mixon, think he's got a lot of upside to his game this year. Be comfortable in drafting him. The one thing I'd like to talk about too, a lot of people this year are going running back. Now, not that I think that's a horrible idea, because running backs are really important in the league, especially when you have those elite running backs, the guys that can do the catching and running, and they're going to be there on every down, and they're going to be getting the lion's share of the workload. Those are really important guys to have, and especially when you grab your guy, and like last year, David Johnson went down. I know that probably hurt a ton of teams. And then you're kind of screwed. You're scrounging on the waivers to get a guy, but you're never really going to get that guy. Not usually. Maybe you're lucky. Maybe you're lucky and you grab the one guy that turns out that way. The guy was like, the Alex Collins of last year, or the Jamal Williams, or, maybe you get lucky and grab one of those guys. But really, it's all luck at that point. And I don't like having to rely on luck. So I get why you'd draft two running backs. Of me, I like to secure my wide receiver spot too. Yes, there's a lot of wide receivers in the draft, but once you get out of those top five, six, maybe I'll say eight I'll say there's 8 wide receivers that I really like this year that I'd be comfortable having, pairing it up with one of these great running backs that I can get. But that's it. And then you're kind of like, okay, well, there's a lot of upside to this receiver. This guy could have a great season if this happens. If he stays healthy, this receiver. You know, there's going to be tons of that those questions that come along with the later receivers that I'm just not really excited about. So I'll grab one of my top 8 receivers. I'll grab one of my top running backs. That's how I like to start off my draft. You know, not in that particular order, but you guys understand what I'm saying, I think. So, that being said, let's get into Jerick McKinnon. My issue with Jerick McKinnon, this guy has not started on his own for the Vikings unless there's been an injury. And even when there has been an injury to their starting running back, he shares the work. He shared it with Latavius Murray last year, and he's shared it with Matt Asiata in the past. And I'm sorry, but this guy's been around for let's pull up Jerick McKinnon right here. I got his stats right here. He's been in the league for what now? Since 2014. Since 2014, this guy's been in the league. And if this guy's so good, how come he hasn't started for the Vikings? Why is he not their starter? Why do they even bother grabbing Dalvin Cook? I'm sorry, that's a red flag to me. What you're gonna say because he didn't fit in the system, or are you gonna say that because Kyle Shanahan's just that good with running backs that it doesn't matter who the guy is there, he's just gonna be a big time fantasy producer? I'm sorry, I just can't buy into that. I'm not buying into that crap. He's the most he's topped was last year with 570 rushing yards. That's the most he's had in the season. This is crazy. And he only got 5 touchdowns combined, you know, between receiving and rushing. This is a guy we're getting in the back half of the second round, and he's already going into the season this year possibly injured. You know, well, not even possibly. He is injured right now. And he's dealing with that injury, and who knows what type of shape he's going to be in, if he's going to be ready for week 1. He might miss a couple weeks. There's a lot of risk with a guy like Jerick McKinnon. I think you guys are crazy out there who think that Jerick McKinnon's going to be somebody different than what he's been since 2014. I'm not buying it. You can make the argument. I've heard people compare him to Devontae Freeman. And in some cases, I've seen him drafted before Devontae Freeman. Then that's insane. But I'm surprised by this, with this analyst-type mock draft that I'm doing here, that he's not going later because of the injury scare. Maybe the analysts just don't buy into it. Maybe they're just way too much on the hype train for this guy. I don't know what it is. I'm staying away, and I advise you guys to do the same. There's going to be busts. There's going to be busts in this draft. I mean, you know what? There's always a bust guy, and this is my big bust guy of the season, Jerick McKinnon. Yeah, you heard it here first in Nick's playbook. All right, getting into the third round. All right. Homer alert. I know. But I'm going to talk about my boy, my guy, the lead running back of the Chicago Bears, Jordan Howard. I know. If you've ever heard me talk before this, you know that I'm a big Jordan Howard believer. I'm a Jordan Howard truther. I love Jordan Howard. He's my guy. You know, I'm lucky enough in one of my big-time money leagues, it's a keeper league, I'm lucky enough to have Jordan Howard in the last round of my draft as my keeper. So I get to keep him and root for him and hope that he keeps winning me. I mean, hell, he led me to a championship last year, so hoping we could do it again. Look, guy finished 6th in rushing last year. 9 touchdowns. His big knock is in the receiving game. I know. The receiving game is not his bread and butter. But 276 attempts last year. 23 catches. So the guy saw almost 300 touches. That's what you want in a workhorse. You want 300 touches or more. He 1,100 plus yards. He hasn't had, his rookie season had 1,300 yards. The guy has been a top 10 running back since last year. And he's only getting better. Look, I understand that again, the catching. Yes, I get it. In PPR, you want that. You need that. That's and Tariq Cohen's there, so I get that too. He's going to be more involved in the passing game. But this offense is only going to open things up. Think about it. John Fox had one of the worst offenses last year for the Bears in their franchise history. One of the worst. And Jordan Howard still was able to clock in 1,100 yards and 9 touchdowns. One of the worst and still able to do that. I'm sorry, but if you look back with Todd Gurley on Jeff Fisher's terrible offense the year before they emerged with Sean McVay, he didn't have these numbers. I'll pull it up right now. Todd Gurley in that season, just 2 years ago at this point, let's see, Todd Gurley, his season was 885 yards on 278 attempts. Same amount more than Jordan Howard, 885 yards, and he was way better in the passing game. I'll give him that. 43 catches, 327 yards. So he had 20 more catches and about 200 more yards than in the air than Jordan Howard. But only 6 touchdowns. And those were only on the ground. He was not involved in the passing game. Now, I'm not saying Jordan Howard's going to become the number one overall running back like Todd Gurley did. I know that Todd Gurley is a very special talent. I'm not knocking him. But what I'm just saying is Jordan Howard's also a very special running back for doing what he was able to do in a pitiful offense. Well, but, Todd Gurley didn't have any help in the receiving game with Jeff Fisher's offense. Yeah, neither did Jordan Howard. And Kendall freaking Wright. Okay? So, if anybody wants to try and make that argument, relax. So, all I'm saying is, I think it's kind of ridiculous that Jordan Howard's going, as far as this mock draft I'm doing right now, he went third overall in the third round. That's tremendous value. That means as the guy who maybe drafted, Le'Veon Bell or Todd Gurley, if it had been my pick next, because he just went right before I went, I would have grabbed Jordan Howard. I would have started with Ezekiel Elliott and Jordan Howard as my 1-2 punch. I'd be freaking thrilled. The guy is just, he is the guy there. There's nobody else that's going to challenge him. Tariq Cohen's 5'6 and is a gadget player. He is not the guy that's built to do what Jordan Howard can do in this offense. So guys, please stop knocking on Jordan Howard. I don't get where the hate comes from. I don't. All right. I'm off my soapbox. So if I'm ranking these guys now, so let's just go back. So Leonard Fournette and Dalvin Cook. Okay, I have those guys ahead of Jordan Howard. I do, because I'm a realist. I get what they can do in the passing game. They're just ahead. And I have Devontae Freeman also ahead of Jordan Howard, but slightly, because then I have Jordan Howard after that, followed by Christian McCaffrey and then the busty Jerick McKinnon. Not busty as in big chest. I mean just bust as in, well, you know. Anyways. Excuse me. I was choking on my horrible joke. So that's how I have it now. Now here's the next guy. Man, I just think he has so much potential to be that steal this year with where he's going, but there's too many question marks and there's too many situations around him. His whole scenario just makes me want to avoid him. And that's LeSean McCoy. LeSean McCoy went 6th overall pick in the 3rd round. He's on the wrong side of 30 now. There's a lot of issues off the field with this whole domestic dispute, and we don't know what's going to happen with that. It's very possible, very likely in my opinion, that there will be some kind of reprimand from the NFL. I mean, look what happened with Ezekiel Elliott. The charges were dropped, and he still got a 6-game suspension. So I have a feeling we're going to see something like that with LeSean McCoy. And even say that doesn't happen, right? I already mentioned, on the wrong side of 30, he's on, that offense is just brutal. Quarterback play is really suspect at this point. We have no idea what's going on. I'm looking forward to this week's preseason game to see what Josh Allen does. He's going to be starting. But here's the problem. Let's look at LeSean McCoy in the stat lines. I mean, he finished fourth overall in rushing, 1138. He was, and then his last two seasons have just been amazing. Amazing. I mean, in 2016, 1267 with a 5.4 yard average and 13 touchdowns rushing. And he had 356 yards receiving. So he had 14 total touchdowns that year. And he had about a little over 1,600 yards total. Well, that's phenomenal. And that was only 2 years ago. And then even last year, he had about 1,500 yards total. And he had 8 touchdowns. Not 14, but I'll still take it. This has been two of his best seasons in a long time. I mean, yeah, the guy, we know the guy's talented. He's able to, he's just a freak, you know. And the great thing is there's really nobody challenging him for playing time. And he's also stayed relatively healthy. I mean, he's played 15 games 2 years ago and 16 games last year. So he's staying on the field. But is there too many miles on him at this point? He had 287 attempts with 59 catches last year. It's almost 350 total touches. I think the tread is starting to wear on LeSean McCoy. I would feel more comfortable grabbing him in the fourth round than this third round value. I think if he drops to the fourth round, there's no way I'm not pulling the trigger. No way. But at this value, I mean, to put it in perspective, here's some guys that went after him. Travis Kelce, Doug Baldwin, Tyreek Hill, Amari Cooper, Aaron Rodgers, Jarvis Landry. That rounded out the third round. There's a lot of guys there that I would take over LeSean McCoy at this point at that draft price. I'm not loving it, guys. All right, you know what? We're going to dip right into the fourth round because there's also a couple running backs here I'd like to talk about as well. Kenyon Drake. The Drake. Probably won a lot of you guys out there your championships for what he was able to do towards the back end of the year. He was on a roll. The guy emerged midway through the season and just was a fantasy darling. Really a great steal on the waivers. You know, one of those guys, like I said, that it's rare to get him, but when you get him, they can win you championships. He had 644 rushing yards. He started in 6 games, so that's incredible. 3 touchdowns rushing. He was a threat in the air as well with 239 receiving yards and 1 touchdown. And again, just to put it in perspective, that was in 6 games that he started. Problem is, they bring in Frank Gore. They have Ballage, this highly touted rookie that they brought in, who's going to challenge as well to get on the field. This is going to be a committee. And the other thing is, I don't trust Adam Gase. Look what happened the year before. We were, you know, there were, well, not me, I can't say we, because I was definitely on the other side of the J.J. argument, saying that he was going to be a bust last year, and behold, I was right. But look at what happened with J.J. He was supposed to be the guy. And, and then all of a sudden, midway through the season last year, he gets traded to the Eagles. And then joins a committee there. And then Kenny Drake becomes a guy, but now they want to form another committee around him. They don't want to make Drake the guy. At least that's the perspective I'm getting. I'm seeing it, and they're saying, oh, well, there's reports out of their training camps. Oh, well, if Frank Gore's on the field starting, Kenyon Drake's going to still get a lot of work. And if Kenyon Drake's starter for this game, Frank Gore's going to get a lot of work. What the hell does that mean? What the hell is that? Sorry, but yeah, Kenyon Drake's a no-go for me. He's in my list with Jerick McKinnon. He is another bust. So, all right, let's continue on. Another guy who really helped you out last season. Oh, I'm sorry. I almost skipped ahead. Let's actually go to Derrick Henry for next. Derrick Henry, he was You know, DeMarco Murray disappointed a lot of people last year. And so Derrick Henry is now there almost by himself. That's what we thought anyway. Until then, the Deion Lewis rolled in. And now Deion Lewis is definitely going to interfere with Derrick Henry's workload. He's not going to be the solo guy there. And he's just, it's going to dip into the workload. You know, he had 744 rushing yards last year and only 136 yards through the air, combined for about 6 touchdowns. I mean, where are you getting him? The 4th round, you're paying for the upside. The actual spot he went is the 7th overall pick in the 4th round. I'm not saying that I hate it. I'm just, I don't think I'm going to be having many shares of Derrick Henry on my lineups this year. I'm just not a Derrick Henry truther. So I think I'll probably be avoiding him at that draft price. A guy who I'm not avoiding, though, and this is going to be our last running back, guys, because, you know, we're starting to run out of time here. My last running back to talk about went in the 4th round. He was the last running back in the 4th round at the 9th overall pick, taken by yours truly, was Alex Collins. I like Alex Collins. I liked what he did. And despite having quite a crowded backfield there, between Javorius Allen and, you know, the returning Kenneth Dixon, if he could stay on. You know, I like this guy. I like what he's able to do. 12 games he started, 973 rushing yards, 6-for-6 touchdown, and 187 receiving yards. So, you know, over 1,000 yards total. And most of this was really towards the back end of the season. He was great down the stretch. So I really think you know, he's only 23 years old, only 23, so he's still young. I think he's gonna be the guy there. I think they liked him enough. See what he did. Kent Dixon has way too many off the field issues. I don't think they want to try and waste their time with him anymore. I think they found their guy. I could be wrong, but at this fourth round value, this late fourth round value, I'm willing to take a flyer on that. I'd rather take my chances with Alex Collins than I would with Derrick Henry at this point. Derrick Henry's definitely going to get vultured by Deion Lewis in certain situations, especially on passing downs. You know, and that may be the case, too, with a guy like Buck Allen might come in and steal some receptions out of the backfield. That may be a possibility, but I still like Alex Collins way more, and I think you're getting a great value for back end of the fourth round. All right, guys. Well, that does it for me, the Knicks playbook. The first episode already in the bag. I want to thank you guys for joining me. Please go to sleepwire.com to check out all of our shows. You'll find them also on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. We are there. You can also follow me on Twitter at sleepwirenick. I'm not very active, I'll be honest, but I promise you, if you guys tag me and ask me for a question, you know, tweet out to me, ask me for a question, I will respond back. I will give you guys the answers you are looking for. And please, you know, drop us a 5-star rating and tell us what you think of the show. And one last thing too, on our website, sleepwire.com, I'm begging you, please, guys, we have a friend named Rob. We talk about Rob's cure all the time. He needs some donations at GoFundMe.com/RobJR. That's the website you can go to. Also, if you don't want to, just go to sleepwire.com and you can drop him a donation. We've raised thousands of dollars so far, but he still needs your help. So please, just drop off a little something for him, and we appreciate it. How could I forget the biggest thing of all? We've got our draft kit, guys, the Draft Genius Draft Kit. More information can be found on sleepwire.com. So go there, go check it out. It's definitely worth it. If you haven't done your drafts yet, what are you waiting for? Grab that sumbitch and start doing it and start getting your practice in, getting that training in, and win your league. All right, guys. Well, thank you very much. And for everyone from Sleeper Wire, I'm Nick Summerall saying so long, everybody. Good night.